This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
A video design. Oh, fuck.
Nah, we design videos. This time I want to design The Godfather. That's a good video, huh? Fucking.
Okay, well.
Dummy.
All right, Griffin. It's a little too much. If you're going to be hurtful, I'll walk away. You can do the whole episode yourself.
Well, maybe I will then. Here's one. Mario 2.
They already made that. Welcome to Cool Games Inc., a video game design podcast, part of the Vox Media Podcasting Network. I'm Nick Robinson.
I'm Griffin McElroy. He's really going for it back there. I don't know if you can hear it, but here's the situation. You're going to hear some what sounds like drilling and sawing and cutting and pounding.
Is that Mr. Driller back there?
Mr. Driller's back in my house. There's a few Mr. Drillers and surface level, what's going on? Get my windows replaced. Got old windows. Mm-hmm. I had Windows 67, more like, 67. And now I'm getting Windows Millennium Edition. I'm very excited.
That is exciting.
I opened this new window in my office today, and a cool breeze came into my office for the first time in 3 years, and I was like, now we're talking. Here's the problem, though, Nick. If you go to the website where all the houses are, you can find out there's a treasure map that leads to the walls of my house.
Uh-oh.
So I think they're having some fun in there. I think like they're putting in the new windows. I'm very grateful. Fresh spring breeze, loving it. But also there's the Curly's gold is up in my house somewhere, and these rapscallions are just boring into my whole zone.
I took a practical prank, and they're sort of using your home as sort of a partially like a secret passageway, and there's tricks and there's
It's not a prank. There's Curly's Golds in my house. Mm. And I took down a poster the other day to move it to a better part of the house. And there's a big dang hole in it had drilled in there looking for Curly's gold stuff.
Gotcha. Is there any part of you that maybe wants to beat him to the punch and start digging around in there at night?
I mean, here's the thing. I know where Curly's gold stuff is. I just like it where it is as part of the home. It increases the value of the home, and that's really important.
It does,
I'm getting a good dollar per square footage just because I know there's gold somewhere in the walls, but I'm not going to fucking tell them where, but it's in the guest bathroom. There's not even a fucking window in there. They'll never find it.
I could really hear him pumping away.
He's pumping. He must have seen a glint or a glimmer or something.
Yeah.
Little does he know, I also put some fool's gold strategically throughout the wall.
That's a good policy. As long as you're 100% sure that you know where that real gold is, because if you get tricked by your own fool's gold, then who's the fool?
Yes,
Griffin is.
Now I've also weakened some of the beams to create a sort of devious cave-in situation.
Oh no! This all seems like This all seems like a bad plan for your house.
Bad plan for my house, but it's a lot of fun for these boys. They just come and they drill and cut and pound away all day, and they get their energy out, and I'll give them a cold soda, and maybe they'll find the gold, maybe they won't, but a few of them will be crushed by the bad beams.
That's nice. That's nice of you to offer them like a soda, though, because it can get some hard work. Speaking of pounding, you want to pound some of these video game ideas?
Oh yeah, let's pound it. I do apologize for that noise, but we couldn't go 2 weeks without doing an episode.
Yeah.
This first one is from Greetings Fellow Human, who says, Bad Dad Redemption. You've been a bad dad, but it's not too late to make amends. Let's get ice cream. Don't replace me with Jerry.
Okay. All right. So you're a dad.
Maybe that's like one of the emotes in the game. You press like up on the D-pad, mm-hmm. and he's like, don't replace me with Jerry.
So Jerry enters the picture.
Yeah.
He's an excellent dad. He's doting on you. He really wants that approval. You start to become kind of a jealous father, and you start to you want to get this son back in, you want to be back in his good graces.
Time to redeem.
Yeah, time for the redemption.
This is going to be a game where you go and you pamper your child, and I would love a good pampering game. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that there will also be a button you can press to whistle for a horse who will just appear.
Could we you, because I want to build this in the Red Dead engine.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't want to make a game.
And I want to leave every function of that engine intact. I want to believe in the ability to kind of lasso your boy.
Maybe not lasso your boy, but you can lasso the fuck out of Jerry.
Yeah, right. Lasso. Well, I think in Red Dead, you also, like, the typical thing for these open world games is the kids are invulnerable, right? So in this situation, you can lasso Jerry, drag him behind your horse. You could go into slow motion while you're giving your son ice cream and help him put some sprinkles on there.
Oh, like a quick sprinkle.
Yeah, quick sprinkle option.
There's like a dueling mode where you quick sprinkle with Jerry.
Okay.
Sorry, I just took a big rip. No, I there's a piece of artichoke, I guess, somewhere floating around the
Oh,
the
I know what you're talking about. You got a little piece of artichoke in the bowl, right?
In the bowl. Is this going to be an issue, all the pounding and digging and gold searching?
No. It adds texture to the podcast.
Sort of a crunchy texture this time.
Yeah. What about a game? This might be contingent on what you were doing 2 weeks ago. I know what I was doing 2 weeks ago. But okay. Baby Gungle suggests Mario and Sonic at the Eurovision Song Contest.
Now, I actually missed Eurovision this year, but I usually try to make an effort to view it. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised there has not been a licensed Eurovision game at this point. If you don't watch, it is a international song contest where a bunch of European countries send their best and brightest, Hunger Games style, to sing and perform these incredibly opulent sort of dance and original song routines with, like, buck wild costumes and buck wild set designs.
Like, this year, there was at one point a sort of a gorilla dancing while a silhouette of that exact gorilla appeared behind him in every color of the rainbow. There was yodeling.
A popular theme is Hypercube, where just like usually like a German or Swedish handsome man will just kind of float in the air and be surrounded by a Hypercube while he sings about like fucking usually.
There was at one point the Ukraine had like this giant sort of polygonal skull behind them that they were projecting lights onto, and it kind of had a very like Star Fox Androssy vibe.
Yeah. So in this one, it's Mario and Sonic universe characters, and they're just kind of battling it out in Eurovision.
Yeah, that excites me because I think there's a lot to be mined about the personalities of these B and C tier Sonic and Mario characters who we don't get to see much of normally in these like this sort of sports games, right? Like, there's a really great video on our channel of Pat and Pat and Allegra watching every single Sonic sports cutscene in a row and kind of ranking them. And it got me thinking about so much of what we know about Waluigi comes from the sports games, like almost exclusively. And I would love to see like what Waluigi's Eurovision routine would be, right? Like what Big the Cat's Eurovision routine would be.
Big the Cat's Eurovision routine would involve, I mean, it'd be sensual. It would be like, he moves slow, but deliberately, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, covered in soft fur, lots to love, and just mounds of fun.
Right? Do you?
That's the name of his song would be mounds of fun.
And the fucking
frog would be there doing the frog's thing, and there's probably a fishing mini game component in there somewhere. I don't think it can just be Sonic and Mario, right? Like, I don't think it can break down into two things. Like, Eurovision has so much flavor because it's coming from like 30 whatever countries. So I think it's got to be like main cast Mushroom Kingdom, and that's like Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad.
But then also we've got Amy, we've got Metal Sonic. What if Metal Sonic and Metal Mario did like a routine?
Yeah, that's what
together?
I'm saying. Metal Boys would be one of them. I think we could do the Koopa Kids. They're their own country, right?
Shadow could do kind of like a goth, like the sort of Linkin Park adjacent stuff that I saw at Eurovision this year.
Shadow and Gino from Mario RPG could get together and like do some dope shit.
That's surprising.
Gino's definitely going to be in the mix. Mallow and Tails from Mario RPG, just soft gentleman doing a softer song. I think this has legs. I'm excited about the idea of doing it's sort of a Busta Groove style rhythm game, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That works
on
the
same page.
Can we guarantee like Donkey Kong bongo controller support?
No.
That okay, well that's kind of a deal breaker for me. Like
wow, that's That was quick.
I feel like if Nintendo is making another rhythm game that's not Dance Dance Revolution Mario Mix 2, I need to be able to use my DK bongos that I've got. I'm looking at them right now. I just turned around and I'm looking at my DK bongos right now. You know what sucks about these? I'm going to grab them.
Okay.
The shitty thing about these DK bongos is, and it's easy to forget this, is that the thing about them is they don't, like, in-game, they sort of have these bongo key sounds, to use a little bit of 2DX terminology, that play when you pop them, like that boop, boop, boop. But in real life, they don't really sound like bongo drums. They sound like this. Just kind of a rubbery...
I mean, that's kind of what... It's kind of what bongos sound like.
Well, hey, you know... It's not as bad as I remember, actually. That's kind of a good... Did you ever play Donkey Kong Jungle?
Donkey Konga?
Donkey Konga.
Yeah, I played it.
The clapping mechanic. How did
that... It was very good.
Yeah. The thing is, I kind of OD'd on it when I was in like high school, and I started to hurt my hands from too much clapping.
Oh, no.
I would go... And then my hands at the end of like a shitty cover of Rock Lobster because Nintendo wouldn't license the original.
It was bad.
Not a good cover. But at the end of it, I'd look at my palms and they'd be a little pink and they'd be stinging. And so a high level Donkey Konga move is actually if you just kind of tap the side of the bongos with your pointer finger, it actually registers as a clap. And that's kind of
interesting.
That's an important thing when you get up into the high level.
Do you ever think about picking up like an analog bongo or perhaps a djembe?
Do you remember when Rock Band did that pro mode stuff where you could plug a real guitar in? If Nintendo were to do that and let me plug real bongos into Konga 3,
you wouldn't be working at Polygon right now. No, you'd be like a member of like 311 or whatever.
I'd be working at Bongogon.
It'd be you and just Jack Johnson just like spliffing it up all across the aisles.
I was about to say that if they ever make a Donkey Konga 3, then I remember there was a Donkey Konga 3. We just didn't get it in America.
Cool. That's all the Donkey Konga. Legally, actually, I'm looking
one,
up the laws
one
right
last
now.
Thing, and I'm not going to talk
we're breaking
about...
We're breaking the law, but okay.
This is if you're listening to this, don't tell anyone that we exceeded our Donkey Konga limit. The translation for the name of Donkey Konga 3 was Donkey Konga 3, All You Can Eat, Springtime Freshly Picked 50 Tunes.
All right. Well, that tells you a lot. It tells you how many tunes there are, what season you're allowed to play it in, and that it's the third one, and Donkey Kong is still a member of the
party. He's the first member of the DK crew.
Do you just want to do the whole DK rap? I think you're going to have to carry the weight of this podcast, because the man is now, I think... Oh, I'm looking, and there's actually a buzzsaw breaking into my office right now. He's cutting my whole house in half.
He's cutting a new door next to your
this
old door.
This is weird. No, it's just like a horizontal... Oh, I got a duck under the... Buzzsaw. Okay. No, he's cutting my whole house in half, like the top half from the bottom.
Oh,
half.
Just kind of bisecting it.
Okay. And I'll tell you what's happening now. A big crane is lifting the top half of my house off the bottom.
Oh,
half.
No.
And now I'm just sitting at like a chest high wall. Like it ends at my desk.
What's the weather like in Austin today?
It's really nice, actually.
Oh, it's good.
It's a really good day to have your house cut in half.
Mm-hmm, kind of a convertible house.
How about this one, and it's from Throwaway Scooby-Doo, who says, a city-building game where you're secretly working for monsters trying to terrorize the town. Place the cemetery next to the preschool. Make dark alleys all over the place. A sewer system where the monsters can easily run away. I like this. This is like a fucking
cool.
Sunnydale, like, design sim.
I just love the concept of, like... because I've never seen a monster movie where the twist at the end is that the monster had an inside man in the mayor's office who was like helping min-max this town to be extra accessible to monsters.
Well, I mean, to continue the Buffy the Vampire run, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer run, Sunnydale was the name of the town in that, and there was a season where the mayor was her arch nemesis because he wanted to turn into this big demon guy. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what we're talking about here. Like, there's the Hellmouth, and it starts, and like, you just like, here's your city, here's the Hellmouth, start building. And it's like, okay, well, I'll put the school right on top of there. Maybe you put like the fucking, I would put the cemetery right next to like the sewage or the like nuclear waste storage facility.
Oh, that way you could wake up all the dead people. They could come out all monsters.
Fill them with, you know, nuclear energy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe put it next to like a big, put the nuclear waste. The nuclear waste facility is going to be incredibly important.
It's
put the cemetery next
choice.
To that, you get zomboids. You put the scorpion store next to that, big scorpions.
Yeah. Oh my god. I actually love this. It's almost like you know, in Kirby 64, when you would suck up two powers, they would like combine. Like
yeah.
You sucked up the ice power and the electric power, you would turn into a refrigerator that would make food you could eat.
Mm-hmm.
I would love. I mean, like the potential the combo potential, even just looking at the nuclear thing, like whatever you put it next to severely augments. If you put it next to the preschool, you got
super toddlers.
You got big toddlers. They could be more dangerous than the monsters.
In my opinion, Nick, scariest horror movie ever made. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, name's very scary. Because you hear it, you're like, you did what to... Oh, you made him big.
And then you find out what it actually means, and you're like, well, why didn't you blow up the kid? Because it's a monster now.
Because it's a big monster. This kid is huge. He goes around, he eats like 10 people, and Rick Moranis has to just live with that.
Did you ever watch the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we've talked about it.
Really?
Maybe before.
I don't know.
Maybe it was on another podcast. But to get back to my point, you can't do anything about this big toddler that's just going around eating all the damn people.
No, yeah. Because with a monster, the military can come in. With a big baby, that's bad PR.
It's just a big baby. You can't hurt the big baby.
Right.
And the baby cries at the end. And he picks up the car that like his sister and her boyfriend are in. And then they make love in the car.
Really?
And then he eats the whole car.
That seems like a bad movie.
That's really, and then he eats Rick Moranis and like chews him up because he's a toddler. He's getting some teeth and he's learning how they work.
He's gumming.
It's straight up Attack on Moranis.
Attack on Moranis season 2. I'm sorry. I keep thinking about this idea of a drill coming through your wall, and I'm reminded of something I haven't thought about in like 15 years, which is...
Is it fucking Donkey Konga?
Yeah, there's this game called Donkey Konga, and you could kind of use the bongo drums to play a song. No, what happened was I remember being like probably 11 or 12, and my childhood friend Ryan had an original Xbox, and he had an official Xbox magazine subscription, and he had the demo disc, and it came with a demo of Halo 1 of that map, The Silent Cartographer.
Yeah, sure.
And we were playing at co-op, and like we didn't really have a ton of experience with like M-rated games. We definitely weren't supposed to be playing M-rated games, and so we're sitting there in his living room playing Halo 1, and there's blood and cussing and all that stuff.
I remember that Master Chief like. Shoots a guy and like his head explodes in a bunch of blood, and then Master Chief's like, "That's right, bastard."
Yeah, he loves to say bastard. He's like, I'm here to shoot Halo Needler Grunt and say bastard, and I'm all out of Needler. And then he just says after that, bastard.
Yeah, and then he sees like the Halo about to explode. He looks up and he goes, Cortana, we're pissed. I'm pissed.
Mm-hmm. Like I remember there's a scene where the commander's like the commander dies, Captain Keyes, and Master Chief looks at the camera, he goes damn it.
Yeah, I remember that was the first time they said damn in a video game.
It was pivotal.
And it was like really, really wild. And right before it, like, and I remember Captain Keyes' death because it was so sad because
the flood
showed up and got him, and while it was getting him, he said, I'm seriously PO'd. Mm-hmm. And even that, like, my dad heard that and took the disc away from me.
I remember the first time the flood comes into the sort of space station, you see them, and Cortana goes, what the F?
Yeah, that was actually 2017, and like that was too much for me because it is still like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like kids are playing these things.
I remember in a lot of regions, like in Canada, when they released Halo, they bleeped out the letter F.
Yeah. Oh my, she said, oh my blank.
Yeah. Oh my, and you could kind of hear the word. But what I was gonna say was we were playing this bad like cussing and blooding game. And we are a little on edge because we know we're doing a naughty game. And
love that.
Upstairs, his parents are like working on their new sort of bonus room, kind of putting it together and building it. It's a new house. And we're playing Halo, and we walk into this sort of building in the Silent Cartographer where all the scary, there's the elites with the Master Chief, Master Sword, and they're going to get you. And we hear this loud sound, and I spin around, and I look up at the ceiling, and there's a full human leg sticking through the ceiling, just wiggling around, like an adult leg. And what had happened was one of Ryan's parents had like stepped a loose step in this upstairs area they were working on, and had just fully stuck their whole leg through the ceiling. And it was very scary, and I was very startled.
Were they okay?
They were fine. Yeah, it was. We all laughed about it later, but in the moment, I was like, "Oh my gosh, is that?"
I can't imagine. I'm surprised
you jackal.
I don't think I would play video games ever again after that.
Almost scared me straight. Just kept me off the stuff for good. You want to do video game podcast though?
I have a really good one here, but I think it might be the Nug. So I'm kind of like,
oh yeah, hold on to that. Hold on. Keep that morsel close. Let's see here. What do you think of Daniel Weimel's suggestion? We bought Abzu.
I'm sure that we could say there's another universe where I could say funny things about this, but I never played Abzu.
Oh, it's you swim around. Earbuds. So Leech just says, oh,
okay, Earbuds is really good.
Earbuds, 2-player co-op action game where you can only hear the audio for what the other player should be experiencing. Communicate through voice chat to alert your partner of imminent dangers.
So like, this rules, and I think this represents, this is not the Nug I was talking about, but it could be really good. This represents, I think, a broader sort of thing that I really, really, really like about games, specifically like competitive games with like teams. Mm-hmm. And I've been getting into it, I think, more in PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. I play that game like every night with Jake Lear at Polygon, or I guess at Vox Wide. He's very, very good at shooting games. Mm-hmm. And so I always get killed before him. And then I just spectate him and try to give him as much intel as I possibly can.
Right.
Like see like the one pixel of the dude popping up from behind a rock that maybe he didn't see.
Has that ever helped him?
Sometimes, but like it's happened in lots of games, right? This is not the only game with like you die and then you spectate and can try and help out. I would love to like codify that because I think that's such a fucking cool idea. And I don't think there are too many games where like one player has to like terrorist hunt, clear out a house full of bad dudes while another player can just see a blueprint, like layout of the house and like know where everything is and just relay it to.
We're getting away from the earbuds idea here, but I love what you're saying. I'm picturing a game called Guardian Angel where, like, Griffin, you can clip through all the walls and kind of see who's in each room while I have to go through and breach and clear them, and you're invincible, but I'm, like, very, very fragile.
Yeah, and I know this is not exactly the idea that was pitched.
That's fine.
But it got me thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I dig this idea of, like, I think Simone and Russ did a thing where Russ drove across all Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, that video is also like, on youtube.com/polygon. If you haven't seen it, it's fucking great.
He's blindfolded and Simone is like talking him through the process of driving. I think that's just like a really fun concept that hasn't been like explored.
Yeah.
Too much.
Asymmetrical cooperative weirdness.
I'll be honest, if it was just PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, except I had like free camera control support,
yeah,
right, and so instead of 50 teams, it's like 50 players and each of them has like a guardian angel who can like fly into the house before them and be like, all right, you got a guy to your right, but that guy also has a guardian angel that can be like, all right, there's a guy that's about to come in,
fuck,
and then it's just let's see what fucking happens.
That's so good. Okay, what about this though? So in current PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, like you roll up to a house, you have no real way of knowing whether anyone's in there or not. If you had a guardian angel, you did. But what if when two guardian angels encounter each other, they can see each other and kill each other?
They could sword fight, or yeah. Or you could see, maybe you can see the other guardian angel if you're the player and like shoot them. Like, oh, I shot an angel, got him, ripped him up.
That would be devastating because when you're guardian.
You just look up in the sky and there's just like a bunch of angels fighting with, I think, swords. Swords aren't.
Swords feels nice and biblical to me. I really like that.
Yeah.
Guardian Angels is a cool game. Player Unknowns, like sort of, but angel.
There's a lot of different versions of this. It doesn't just have to be PUBG. Like, I really do love the idea of like Rainbow Six Vegas terrorist hunt, except like. Where you're just up against a bunch of AI and you're all alone and the only thing you have is like an operator who's like helping you get
it would really
stuff.
Quickly turn into you and your angel talking like an Ubisoft press conference, just being like, we got three bogeys coming up on from the south on the south side, tango actual. It's a cool idea. Let's put a pin in that.
Yeah, I really want this game. Well, maybe we should talk about the other one that I thought was going to be the Nug, because I think this is also a really strong contender. Quarter Past Chill says, a co-op multiplayer game in which duos consist of a news chopper pilot and cameraman competing against rival stations to get the best live footage of high-speed chases, daring rescues, and fires around the city. Some events escalate in drama and suspense, while others come to an anticlimactic end, so coverage must be chosen wisely to gain the most viewers.
Okay. Have you seen the Jake Gyllenhaal film Nightcrawler?
I have not, but I think I read a Wikipedia synopsis because it seemed like really dark to me.
It's fucking awesome. It's so good. The premise essentially is it's about these people who really exist, and they're called either like they're called Nightcrawlers, or there's like another name for
assholes.
And the premise is that they're the people who kind of like listen to police scanners is the other word for them, but that's also the name of a movie. They're kind of in a tough position when you're either going to call your movie Scanners or Nightcrawler and they're both already like a thing.
Yeah,
that must be frustrating. Anyways, they're people who try to like roll up on an accident or an incident like a fire, like a house being on fire or a car crash, and try to get really good footage and then sell it to the local news stations. This seems like a sort of in that wheelhouse a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe it's like each server is like a server shard where you can get like 30 duos, and mm-hmm. so like one player has to steer the helicopter and another person has to film shit. And the city's huge, but the city's completely AI controlled. Mm-hmm. And you can't like land in the city, I don't think. And that's how we kind of get around like generating an entire fucking enormous city,
right.
That like 30 helicopters are all flying around. But you have to like hit the police scanners and like follow up on where the big chase is happening and be the first one there and get the best shots of it. And you get like points that you can use to upgrade your camera or your helicopter or whatever.
Or your armor, because the other competing news choppers are definitely going to start trying to shoot you down after a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, there is going to be some sort of helicopter to helicopter. I've never been in a news helicopter, and I don't think that's so much an element.
Maybe it should be, though.
But there would be deaths. I think they're just shooting into the walls of my house right now.
Just the firing.
I'm pretty sure I just heard like an Uzi, just somebody unloading a whole clip into one of my walls.
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds LARPers who are working on your house. You gotta, next time they come over, just leave like a level 2 backpack for them, and then they'll probably let you alone.
Yeah, you know, they found the big bat. Mm. I put a big bat in the walls to like. No, he hit a big bat in the walls as like a mini boss, and so he flies out and screeches at him, scares him.
Oh, an animal bat.
Yeah, and so the bat will like drain all their blood, and so they'll die and have to start over.
Is that why you give him sort of a nice soda? Is because the sweetness makes the blood have all
it
the
electrolytes? Drives the bat. It drives the bat fucking crazy, man. Yeah, loves that shit.
He loves it.
This is kind of like Crazy Taxi, except all the way up in the sky, and you're filming, and car chase is big fire. Mm.
Nice. Well, it would be good to have. What else is it? I think car chases are going to be a big component of it. When else is there like a news chopper?
Music festival. They want to like see the big crowd, mm-hmm. the big crowd, or like you know, sexy babes and dudes on a beach, and they're just like, it's summer, and they film it for like their summer B-roll.
That would be a fun sort of summer events that we have that are custom, or like holidays. You're competing to film the pumpkin festival.
Maybe you want to film Santa Claus.
Maybe you're trying to both film Santa Claus as he goes from his one horse.
No, it's 30 news choppers. I can't stress this visual image enough.
It's got to be a ton, huh?
It's a swarm. It's a lot of helicopters.
I wonder then if Santa would hate that, because all these, they're getting in his way as he tries to giddy up his sort of horses that to go to house to house.
He wouldn't like it, I don't think. But we've already done, I think, a couple of Santa Claus games.
Yeah.
And as much as I love our sort of childlike fascination with Kris Kringle.
Mr. Ho-Ho. Tesla Dine suggests WarioWare CAPTCHA. So it's a WarioWare game, but you're filling out those sort of CAPTCHA tests to make sure you're not a robot.
Okay.
That's kind of just a game that exists today. Go to a website with a CAPTCHA and you give yourself a 3-second timer.
It's when I make all of my fucking Club Penguin accounts to grief kids. I have to do so many. I do like 20 captures a day, dude, because I burn those accounts down. I'll go into somebody's like little igloo and I'll be like, this igloo is ass banned, gone.
Yeah,
all right,
you do get instantly banned if you say ass.
Yeah. This igloo's an ass. This igloo's an ass. Your penguin looks like an ass. And then I get deleted, and then I have to start a new one, and I have to fill out a CAPTCHA every time. I'm getting really good at it.
It seems like you would probably develop it. It's almost a typing game. What if we did like a fucking Bookworm Adventures style typing game, but we're actually just having players fill out CAPTCHAs, and then we are able to like sort of cache hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of CAPTCHAs that we can then use to just like post spam bots on message boards and
or just start all my Club Penguin
or
accounts.
Just start hundreds of Club Penguin accounts.
And seriously, they don't tell you start up a bunch of Club Penguin accounts and you get them running in a bunch of concurrent tabs, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I bought that new boat.
Yes.
It's because I've been making a bunch of dummy accounts on Club Penguin and then getting my daily carrots. And then you sell, you can trade in those carrots, like 1,000 carrots for one fish. And then you sell the fish to a kid and the kid will give you like $5 for it.
Of real world easy. Money.
That took me like, that took me like 20 minutes.
How much did you make? Boat
I've
amount?
I've made like $65,000. I mean, a really good one is another quarter past chill one. Ex-prom. You lead a team hired by strict parents and jealous teenagers to sabotage promposals.
Okay.
So it's just like you make something, you get somebody a pizza that says prom on it and pepperonis, and you hide the pepperoni pizza in their locker or whatever, but then ex-prom comes in, tears the door open,
rearranges shoots the pizza. Says prom. You rearrange the letters to spell romp.
Oh, good. I mean, you could move the pepperonis in any order. You don't have to keep the letters.
He's not a very creative prankster. He keeps the order of the letters because he wants to keep the spirit of the pizza spelling, but he keeps the pepperonis in the letter shapes that they were already in because they have sort of hardened and the cheese is kind of, by the time he gets in there, it holds all the letters together.
You can make it say porn and then people will be like,
porn?
Did you misspell pornography? Why is this a question? It's not a word, so I guess I would also have a. I would also put a question mark.
You could maybe move the letters like kind of far apart, so it says pro M, and then they think, oh, it's like professional melee, like your competitive Smash Brothers thing, and then she would be very confused by that.
Another one. What was your? Remember your promposal? What did you do?
Oh, so the person I was dating at the time was really, really into Kinect. And so I kind of got a, you know, that Star Wars Kinect game?
Mm-hmm.
I hacked into it and I kind of like, there's this sequence that's like really great where Han Solo is dancing to YMCA. But I hacked into the Xbox 360 disc and I copied and pasted the Han Solos. And instead of YMCA, I had them all spell out, will you go to prom with me?
Oh, man.
Question mark. And so there was about 40 or 50 Han Solos. And that was hard because that game natively renders at like 720p. And so I had to really optimize it to get it 1080p because otherwise you just couldn't read what they were spelling with their bodies. The question mark Han Solo was the most fucked up looking one of all.
He looked really weird.
Yeah. What did you do?
Flash Mob Super Bowl.
Interesting. Can you elaborate on Flash Mob Super Bowl for me?
Flash Mob Super Bowl at Disneyland. If I did a Super Bowl Flash Mob at Disneyland.
Okay.
I got together the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, and we did a Super Bowl in Disneyland. But then, and
you did a full Super Bowl? Like the whole, they played football?
Yeah, they played fucking football. It's a Super Bowl, Nick. And so, but we did it like right at Disneyland, but it was a flash mob, so Disney didn't know. And so they showed up to try to break it up, but it's a big football. Like,
how
big
do you break
gentlemen.
Up the Super Bowl? Yeah.
You can't break up the Super Bowl. Like, it costs so much money. So, like, calm down.
Who did y'all get for the halftime?
Everybody who had Super Bowl, Beyonce, everybody who had Super Bowl tickets was so pissed off because the Super Bowl wasn't there. It was at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through the game, Beyonce did her show. And then beginning of the third quarter, they went for the kickoff. But the kicker ran right by the football, and then everybody went to meet up with the kicker in the midfield, and they spelled out, will you go to prom with me, Denise?
Mm-hmm. And what did Denise say? We don't, never mind. Let's not get into it.
I really don't want to,
It's okay. What about this game here? Knights of the Old Red Lobster 2, the Shrimp Lords.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean... There've been BioWare needs something new. I think we can all agree. BioWare needs to sink they teeth into something new and juicy and taste of the sea. I think it's time for BioWare to make their licensed Red Lobster game.
I think so too. Although I will note that KOTOR 2, the Sith Lords, was an Obsidian product. So we were talking about BioWare takes back the KOTOR
takes it back
brand, sets it under the sea.
Borrows the Red Lobster brand.
Do we put it under the... Because you remember in like Star Wars Episode 1, there was those underwater guys, the Gongons, and they love to hang out.
Yeah. And they definitely were all like... They loved to like... They loved to party and
they
loved
stuff. To party and they loved to eat different shrimps.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely a big element, yeah. But I also think we could get some Darkened Sky stuff going on where you have to eat the Cheddar Bay biscuits to get force power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do we do the Darkened Sky thing where we like kind of hide that it's a licensed game? We just secretly make it about like a food product and we sell
it? Yeah, so this one's just called Knights of the Old Republic 3.
The Shrimp Lords.
The Shrimp Lords. And you know, it'll just be like, in the tutorial, by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, boy, this game has a lot of like shrimp scampi sort of stuff going on, huh? Yeah. Like they talk about shrimp scampi and how Shrimp Fest is coming like a lot. And I guess I wasn't expecting that from my Star Wars game.
Hey, should we do a commercial?
Aw, yes. Hey, do you want to save money and play more games? And let me introduce you our sponsor, who is Gamefly. Hi, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games, because at Gamefly.com, you pick your favorite games, and they send them right fucking to your house and door and mailbox. And they have nearly 10,000 titles to choose from.
They have how many?
Nearly 10,000.
So not quite 10,000.
Much more than 8,000.
Okay, so you would say that
they're the leading game rental service, and you can try your favorite games before you buy them, because let's face it, some games are dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep the games as long as you want if they're not dog shit, and you don't have to worry about late fees or anything, because they say no stress. Keep it. Explore that world.
As a matter of fact, I've actually got my purchase history here,
which is
not just a list. Yeah, not my rental history. Here's a list of every Gamefly game I liked so much that I kept it.
Real talk. Like, I used to buy Gamefly used to do some buck, and they probably still do, but I used to buy like mad Game Boy Advance games, because they'd be like, here's one for $4. Like, fuck yeah.
Like, I purchased, obviously, I bought and kept Mercenaries Playground of Destruction on the Xbox, because that's one of the greatest fucking open world games ever. I bought Transformers on the PlayStation 2.
I don't even know what that is.
It was this surprisingly good Transformers game that had like Havoc ragdoll physics. It was like a third-person shooter. It was kind
of
good.
I don't think fucking Optimus Prime should be able to ragdoll. He's a bunch of cars.
Strong disagree. I bought Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks because it was on sale
for $4.
That one rules. Yeah, it's a good game.
$4.
I know. What a steal.
They have movie rentals too. You can go to gamefly.com/CGI and start your free premium 30-day trial today. The premium trial allows you to check out two games and or movies at a time, and you can only get this offer by going to gamefly.com/CGI. So get to that URL. You goober. Jay, do you own a small business or a big business or a medium business?
I have a medium-sized business.
That's not what I've heard.
That can go one of two ways. Griffin, I just want to know if there's any way for me to hire for my medium-sized business.
I'll tell you the best way to hire for your average business. Mm-hmm. You go to ZipRecruiter and you hire people. Now, are there many medium or small or large business owners who listen to this show? That's not my problem. It's ZipRecruiter's problem. At
right.
ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why they're different. Other than other job sites, they don't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. It tracks them down, hunts them down mercilessly. Mm-hmm. And they do not stop until they get their quarry. You don't have to juggle emails or calls or anything. You just screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Real talk, we've had to hire people in the past, and it takes fucking forever.
It does. It takes. It's a long process, and some of that is that we do make them sort of design a jungle gym outside of the Polygon offices for us to climb around on. Because if we think about it, we make, what, like 6-7 hires a year. If every single one of those people adds an interesting sort of standalone playground component to our jungle gym, we're going to have the world's best jungle gym by like 2019.
We make them make a margarita, and we taste it. Cause it's margarita day basically every day here. Mm-hmm. And so, Simone made a really good cactus water one.
That's why she's employed at Polygon now.
That's why she did it. She's a genius, a comedy genius, but also that cactus water margarita really, knocked my doors down.
And if any of our listeners do want to post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free, you can go to ZipRecruiter.com/games. I think we're going to get some complaints because that used to be where ZipRecruiter kept all their fun sort of recruitment flash games.
Yeah, their flash games. Play.
And we made them take that down so we could get this custom URL. But ZipRecruiter.com/games.
There was Resume Muncher. Resume Muncher was my favorite. And that's actually going to be our nug for this episode. Here's the deal. You lie on your resume and then a big monster eats it.
That sounds pretty good. I love that little word muncher guy. He's a little green man. He looks like a bracket.
Let's get back to our nug and make it good. Because you and I have to go stream PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's like I can't fucking stop thinking about that game, Nick.
It's really something.
It's really it's good, I guess.
What's fun about it is that, like, I'm enjoying it, and it consumes my thoughts constantly. I am not getting any better at it at all, but I still, it's, like, my favorite thing to think about.
I think I want to do the cooperative, like, operator game. I think that's the one that interests me more than the News Chopper game.
Gotcha. So sort of the angelic oversight. The
guardian angel game. But I'm trying to figure out, like, if PlayerUnknown is, like, the best, like, route for that, or if it's just, like, what's in my mind now.
Yeah, I guess we can explore other genres, but, like,
this will help narrow it down. Do we want it competitive, where there's multiple teams with multiple guardian angels so that everybody knows where everybody is as long as they're communicating well,
or do we want it to be horde mode,
like one player going into a big dangerous house?
Good question.
Because if we do the big dangerous house, we could also do stuff like there's traps, like a big bucket of acid above the door frame, and right. So the guardian angel goes in there. It's like, big bucket of water on the door frame, kick it open, don't go in there.
Yeah, they're both great. I think I still prefer the multiplayer thing just because the angel to angel combat component is something I don't want to lose. Like, the fact that there are these sort of two layers of war happening between the humanoid combat people and then these angels. It's like that shit rule.
Here's what I want, though. If your angel gets taken out by another angel, I don't think they're gone forever. I think they're just gone for like 15 seconds and then they respawn. If your human player goes down, they're gone for the game.
Yes.
So that way it's just like, if the angel kills the other person, that angel can relate to their player and be like, all right, they don't have an angel. They don't have any intel out here. Go, move in. You got this.
Yeah, 15 seconds is too I want a full minute, because imagine how, like, if you have someone,
you'd be so
ear.
Scary. And I think it's, and I don't know how we enforce this, but, like, voice chat also cuts the fuck up. Like, you can't use Skype or Slack or.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how we solve that problem. I think what we actually do is when the angel dies, their screen just goes literally black for 60 seconds. And, like, there is no, they can't share any information with you. There's no, it's not even useful to have them in your ear. And then also we turn off the in-game voice chat. What I also love about this is that, like, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is, like, a direct descendant of DayZ, right? Which was an ARMA mod. And now we're taking that idea and we're making a mod essentially of that we spin out and sell as our own game.
Can your angel do any kind of healing, miracles, or proselytizing?
I actually think no. I think it's got to be completely a hands-free, faith-based experience where they can't physically interact with the mortal world. But they
I think I would like to give them two powers. One, they can go inside of a house, and if they find, like, an AK suppressor, just throw it out the fucking window so that somebody can, like, out on the street, go grab it.
Mm.
The other thing is, I think they can catch grenades in midair.
Oh, my God. It's really hard to
take
some crackerjack timing, but you see a grenade coming at you, and then it just halts and then goes back where it came from.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. And again, we're just getting into, like, how good it feels to slap that jazz, because it's grenade basketball is what we're talking about.
More or less. So, I mean, actually.
By the way, thank you to the listener who I met after the Mabim Bam live show here in Austin last weekend, who did get a tattoo on their torso that says, eat rocks, grow bombs, slap that jazz.
Yeah, you texted me a picture of that, and I just kind of looked at it. I was a little drunk when I received it, and so I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense, and I just put my phone down. I was like, that can't be what it looks like.
It's a wonderful tattoo and a very powerful mantra. I was surprised that somebody, like, adhered to it so strongly, mm-hmm. so quickly, but we appreciate it.
I appreciate
it.
That a lot.
Now
that you've brought up this sort of this specter of angel-based superpowers, I can't, like, my head's now spinning with ideas. Like, maybe, like, what you have, I maybe the angel has, like, a full row of, like, cooldown powers, but they're all
that's
these,
what I'm thinking. Like, you got three angel points that you can spend during the entire game, and you can use those angel points to, like, grab something in a house and bring it to your buddy, or you can use it to catch a grenade in the air, or you can use it to, like, drive a car for a minute.
That would be fun. I like the idea that you can press a button and for 5 seconds you can block bullets with your body, so you stand in front of the battler that you're protecting, and someone,
I mean, dude,
at the pivotal moment, and all the bullets come flying at them, and your player's like, oh no, and then the bullets just stop in midair and just kind of quiver there for 5 seconds, giving your player time to get out of the way, and then the bullets continue.
What this is PlayerUnknown's boy and his blob, where you're just fucking like, you got a blob going with you, and the blob can like Alex Mack under a door and like look at what's up inside a house, and then Alex Mack back outside of the door. And it's like, there's a bad dude in there. Like, okay. And you toss him a jelly bean, he turns into a riot shield for 10 seconds. And then you go in there and you light him up.
God. And so your game varies greatly depending on when you're raiding the houses, what jelly beans you find.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of potential there. Oh, that's good. And we also did just do a game about angels like a second ago.
Did we?
I think so. Wasn't there like a Angels on the basketball outfield?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Okay, so this is a blob. This is a blob. And it's not the blob. I know folks are like really wanting to dive into the deep lore. It's not the blob. This is a good blob.
No, in fact,
let's not call it a blob. And let's not call it Player Unknown's Boy and His Blob, because that's just lazy.
That's just two video games. Yeah.
Yeah. We can call it... You do a shapeshifter word, and I'll do a military word.
Okay.
All right, I got mine.
All righty.
3, 2, 1, go, and then say it after go.
3, 2, 1, and then say it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, and say it.
Got it. All right.
3, 2, 1. Company.
Metamorphosis Company is the name of it. Or, for short, we call it Metacore.
Metacore is pretty good. Or Morphcore.
Morphcore.
Morphcore is also my favorite musical genre right
now. I love this. There's some really good SoundCloud Morphcore out there.
Morphcore sounds good. Mm-hmm. Morph Corpse, but
yeah,
like C-O-R-P-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Morphcore. This is fucking great. So it's one player, human, soft body, shot to death, is out. Mm-hmm. The blob... can transform into different shapes based on what, not jelly beans, shit, that's, now we're close to, I don't know, man, it can be fucking anything, energy balls, energy orbs, pellets, power pills.
Power pellets, or like, what if it's like fruits and vegetables?
That's good, yes, I found a banana, it turns him into a riot shield. I found a fucking mango, it turns him into an auto turret.
These are all great.
These are all really good. I think the blob's really slow though, so you gotta like pick him up. You gotta pick up the morpher and like carry him with you like a backpack.
What if you gave him like a pineapple and he temporarily turned into like a jeep or a small airplane?
Yeah, I think that's really good too.
Mm. Imagine the opening scene of every match being everyone jumps out of a like a airplane and then parachutes down with their little rubbery friend as a parachute. Isn't that cute?
I think if you get touched by another team's morpher, they can just they just destroy your body.
Wait.
I think you can throw your morpher through a window, and if it hits somebody, they just destroy their body. They just, like, glom onto their body and just, like, destroy
them. Devour them.
Yeah, kinda.
So, interesting. Because we've changed from a partner who cannot touch anything to a partner who is seemingly more powerful than the player character.
Okay, fine. Then they can't. But it can absorb other blobs to get bigger.
Yeah, so it's got kind of a fucking like snake.io or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And by the end of the game, like, you've obviously consumed 48 other blobs and the other team has just been hiding in a house somewhere. And you just eat the house, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
I think at that point your blob just rolls over the house and that's it. That's game.
You swallow up and like the windows start getting covered up in the house.
Can you imagine how scary that would be to just be in a house and you're the final team left and you've just got a little shitty blob there with you and then just all the light through the windows just gets blotted out?
I like that too, because it discourages just holing up and camping like you can do in PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds sometimes. Like, if you're not out there constantly feeding your blob other blobs, like, at the end of the match, it's going to be you and your dinky little friend versus this enormous monster that's, like, dwarfed half the island.
And it can still transform, and this monster turns into, like, a jeep the size of, like, 10 houses.
Fuck.
It's just gonna like roll over all your shit.
That's very cool. I think we made a great game.
Morphcore. You pick it up today, Steam Early Access. It's very, very, very early.
Very early.
This is the earliest access imaginable. You're literally walking into our minds.
Like patch notes. There's just a title screen right now.
Patch notes 0.02. Our friend Dave drew what we think the blob might look like.
We used a YouTube ripper to download like a kind of a Kanye West song, and now that's playing in the background of the title screen. It's very early access.
0.4. I think the price is going to be $10.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that figured out.
It's $9.99. Isn't PUGB like 20 bones, 30 bones?
It's
God, they got to be fucking rolling in the cashola,
huh? Speaking of, let's wrap this up so we can go stream that shit.
Yeah, let's go play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. If people haven't seen it, on youtube.com/polygon, we did one just for fun, and then we all wanted to keep doing it. We've been doing these weekly PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds live streams on our YouTube channel, and we kind of have a rotating cast of myself, Griffin, sometimes Pat and Justin and Russ are all in the mix, I think this week I'm going to be there for like the beginning, and then I'm going to dip out a little early, but we're trying to change up like which player's perspective you see, all that type of stuff. So
really, really fun series and a super fun game. And we're going to go do that right now. So thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fine.